Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just picture, for 1 minute, the chaos. Jesus flailing a whip of cords, money rattling all over the floor, people scrambling to pick it up, tables crashing, animals let loose, baying and mooing and running free all over the temple courtyard. This is a side of Jesus that makes us gasp, maybe even feel a bit uneasy. What made him so angry? Well, first, we need to understand the Jerusalem temple. The temple was a complex social, religious, and political institution. For the Israelites, the temple was the place where God lived, a sign of God's covenantal promise that God would be eternally present. Herod had renovated the temple into one of the most magnificent buildings of the first century. The outer and largest part of the temple was the court of the Gentiles, and this is where Jesus found the money changers. Jews during the Middle East made pilgrimages to the temple at feast times. This temple was the symbol that bound Jews in a common identity. The sacrificial rites with animals were performed by priests in the temple. Now, these priests were resented because their positions of power and influence were inherited. It was nepotism at its best. They were connected to the Roman authorities, and they kept their distance from Israelites who were still under Rome's thumb. The temple priests were not in any sense religious leaders. In fact, the chief priest was appointed by Roman officials, and he served their interests. During the Passover celebration, the population of Jerusalem would swell from 50,000 to 180,000 people. The crowds at the temple were near gridlock, everyone trying to get into the temple to buy an animal for sacrifice and to pay the temple tax. A money exchange was required because travelers brought coins from all over, but only one specific Tyrian coin could be used for the temple tax. Animals that were used for the sacrifices were brought to the temple to sell to the pilgrims. This was necessary because people far away couldn't bring their own animals. Plus, only first-rate, unblemished animals could be used. And it'd be hard to maintain an animal in perfect condition, even on a journey from Galilee, let alone Rome or Egypt. Thus, the system was set up for the money changers to sell the animals and exchange coins so that people could make the required sacrifices and pay the temple tax. Money changers used to be set up way outside the temple in the Kidron Valley. Then the high priest, Caiaphas, let his supporters move their money-changing stalls into the temple. This was a power play against his rivals in the Sanhedrin. Imagine how furious Caiaphas must have been to have his authority so directly challenged by Jesus. Jesus's disruption in the temple courts during Passover affected more than the pilgrims' ability to buy an animal or pay a tax. This disruption directly affected Rome's pocketbook. The money changers in the temple were not evil people. They were respectable people doing what was thought to be a necessary job. The money changers generated enough revenue through their activities to fund the temple for the whole year. We hear the same argument sometimes in our church today. It's for God, so it must be all right. The problem occurs when the money changers exploit people in the name of God. There are still money changers in our society. People who believe they are doing good, but are in fact exploiting innocent lives. Just last week, Religious News Service published an article about the collusion between the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, and the Russian government. Fordham University's Orthodox Christian Study Centers called on leaders of international Christian churches, including the Lutheran Church, to denounce the Russian Church's support of the Ukrainian war. Most troubling was that Patriarch Kirill has promised that a Russian soldier's sins would be forgiven if he died fighting in the war in Ukraine. A money changer. Closer to home, the New York Times published an article last week about Instagram accounts that parents operate for their young daughters, hoping the girls become rich influencers or famous models. Sadly, many of these accounts have attracted a following from people who say should not be around children. Despite this obvious exploitation of minors, the owner of a small clothing company who features these young influencers in his online marketing quotes the Bible for justification. He quotes, "The Bible says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So sometimes you got to use the things of the world to get you where you need to be, as long as it's not harming anyone." Money changers. Jesus is not anti-temple or even real anti-money changer, but anti-exploitation. He insists God's house be treated with reverence. His anger is at those who use the house of God to make money rather than worshiping God. When Jesus throws the merchants out of the temple, he is rejecting the ways commerce and profit can become our gods. I mean, after all, the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." But John has another important message. When this gospel, the gospel of John, was written, the temple had already been destroyed by the Roman Empire. John's community had to explain why a merciful God would allow their sacred temple to be trampled upon by the imperial Rome colonizers. With their temple in ruins, the Gospel of John is providing reassurance to this community by reminding them that although the building is gone, Jesus is their new temple. According to John, Jesus himself asserts that he is this temple. Rome did not destroy the temple. God did not abandon them. The temple endures forever through the resurrected Christ. God's presence is no longer confined to a physical place, the temple, but instead, God's presence is now embodied in the person of Jesus. Jesus' purpose was to take down the barriers between humans and God so that all people would know God through him. Jesus' body became the temple so that no priests, money changers, temple tax, animals, or really anything are needed to gain access to God. God is present in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, dear church, before we come to the table, let us pray. Repeat after me. That's right. Amen. Dear God, forgive me for the times I craved a place at a table that you would have flipped. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.